Terrific. Well, welcome. Welcome to the second of our Battles Christians Face. And tonight, if you didn't know, we're looking at the topic of pornography. Phrasing that carefully. You've got a handout. I don't know if you need a pen. Do you want a pen? There's some pens over there, Jack. Bring those over. We might be few in number, but this is such an important topic to be looking at. So let's pray together and pray that this evening is a really significant evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, even in talking about pornography, we are aware that we are vulnerable people who need your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to live day by day. We ask that we would be a church, a community, that we would be individuals who flee from sexual immorality, in whom there is not even a hint of wrongdoing. Would that be our desire? Not for our own glory, not so that we can feel good about ourselves, not in order to feed our pride, but because that brings you glory and honour. May we be deeply convicted this evening that the riches we have in Jesus Christ outweigh any temporary thrills that pornography has to offer. Would you shape us to be men of God this evening? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Fantastic. Well, just to give you a rough idea of where we're going to be heading, we're firstly going to very quickly think about what is pornography. Then we're going to think about what's wrong with pornography. And then we'll sort of spend the second half thinking about how do we live godly, pure lives in this day and age, which is a day and age full of pornography. There's a definition there you'll see on the handout. That's from the CARE website. I don't know if you come across CARE. They're an excellent charity that does a lot of stuff in the public realm, a lot of Christian witness in the public realm, and they describe on their website, they give a definition of pornography as this: pornography is the explicit representation of sexual activity in print or on film to stimulate erotic rather than aesthetic or emotional feelings. And it doesn't take much to know that just in our society around us, this is everywhere. Pornography is everywhere. From magazines to billboards to TV. You go to the gym and there are banks of television screens with music videos on them showing effectively pornography. The internet, of course, has huge access to pornography. We'll talk about that in a second. Mobile phones add ease to accessibility for pornography, and a massive issue in our schools particularly. And much of this is just now accepted as normal. It's just seen as totally normal in our society. I mean, the fact that the book 50, or the series 50 Shades of Grey, sold over 65 million books in 2012, that accounted for one in every 20 books that were sold in 2012. Just shows how this is just mainstream and normal in our society. So at one level, this is not a new sort of issue for human beings, but I think it's fair to say that over the last 10 or so years, it has reached a whole new level. There is a sort of epidemic of pornography. And there are two main factors for that. The first is the rise of the internet. The internet has just meant that the scale and the availability of pornography is just massively different from how it ever was before. And the second is just the spirit of the age, one of increasing sexual license, where more or less anything goes. So porn is now accessible, it's affordable, it didn't even cost anything, and you can get it largely through the internet anonymously. Now, I deliberately haven't filled this handout with stats, because you never know the reliability of stats, particularly on a topic like this. But I just wanted to give you one. One survey carried out in 2006 by a marketing agency said this, that 50% of Christian men and 20% of Christian women are addicted to porn. Now, what they meant, understood by Christian, I don't know. But it's a shocking statistic if even half of that is true, but perhaps not that surprising. So it's something that we really need to talk about. And I don't know where people are at on this issue at the moment. It might be for some that this is the massive issue in your life at the moment. And my prayer tonight is that tonight would really be a turning point, if that's the case for you. For others, it might not be a live issue for you at the moment. You are, as it were, living porn-free. And that's great, that's wonderful, but it would be a big mistake to think that just because at the moment things are going well, that you're not vulnerable to pornography. Others will be somewhere in between. Sometimes things are going well, but perhaps a couple of weeks back there was a big slip-up. Well, let's start by just asking this question. What's wrong with a little bit of porn? I've put here a case study of someone called Tim, completely made him up. And what I thought we'd do is just to read through this case study. And then just in our two groups, perhaps we might think about how we would want to respond to Tim, just to get us thinking about this whole topic. So let me read to you about Tim. Tim has been a Christian for 5 years now. He was converted whilst in his final year at university. And whilst life is busy, forging a career in the city, newly married with a 6-month-old daughter, he is committed to his church. Tim is under no illusions that there is some porn, the hardcore stuff, that is just off limits. But he can't quite see the harm in the milder stuff. And whilst he knows he probably shouldn't, and he does feel a bit guilty for doing it, he often finds himself trawling through the internet for some images to enjoy. He justifies it in his own mind as a way of relieving some of the stress and pressure in his life. No one is hurt, no one need even know. His wife is exhausted with a newborn, and the last thing she wants is sex. So that's Tim. How might you respond? What sort of things might you want to be saying to Tim on the back of that? Why don't we just sort of go into our groups for 2 or 3 minutes, just sort of think about some of the things that we might want to say into that situation, and then we will come back together. Why don't you turn over the page, and what you'll see there is a list of 14 reasons to hate porn. Much of this stuff we've spoken about already. And, I mean, really, the reason why we're bound to look at 14 reasons to hate porn, and you could come up with, you know, 25, 30, whatever, these were just the 14 which I put together. But it is probably a basic truth of human beings that actually we do what we want to do. We do what we want to do. I think that's what the Bible teaches. We do what we want to do. In other words, our actions flow out of our hearts. And our actions, therefore, reveal our hearts. And if we spend time looking at porn, that's because our hearts want to. So if we want to stop looking at porn, we need to start by changing our attitude towards it. And that's why we're going to start now by looking at 14 reasons to hate porn. Because we really need to, if we want to avoid porn, really, really, in our hearts, hate it. Because actually we always do what we want to do. And if our hearts want to do it, we will end up doing it. And if our hearts hate it, then that's the best safeguard for not doing it. So here we go. Here are just 14 reasons. Let's just go through them pretty quickly. Firstly, porn makes me more selfish. I mean, porn is the total opposite to what God's design for sex is. Sex is about giving pleasure to another. Porn is about giving pleasure to yourself. Sex is about self-giving. Porn is about self-serving. Sex is about communicating love to your wife. Porn is about loving yourself. Sex is done with another person. With porn, you're on your own. So it makes me more selfish. And that links to the second one there. Porn stunts my emotional maturity. We've sort of spoken about this already. At one level, it's just too easy. particularly when regard to relationships. Relationships in life tend to be hard to develop. They tend to require hard work, time, sacrifice. They often involve some pain and grief. They involve vulnerability. And porn sort of offers none of these things. It suggests that we are able to have relationships or have our emotional needs met without any of the sort of the hard yards, as it were. And everything is just too easy. And the result is that our sort of emotional maturity is stunted because we're not really living out the lives of relationship that we're meant to be living out. It's trying to take a shortcut that just doesn't work. There's also a sense in which porn makes me less human. I mean, porn is not real life. And so porn can dehumanise because I'm not living in the real world as a human being who is meant for relationships. And there's a sense in which also it can make me less human in that it can harden my conscience. So that rather than having a tender conscience, we can become hardened to the stuff, the world around us. And that can then go from just being hardened towards pornography to being hardened towards just life in general and relationships in general. We can't just compartmentalise our life in certain ways. It makes me less human. And as a result, porn can destroy my relationships. It is a common thing for people who are really struggling with pornography to end up becoming actually quite irritable and defensive and angry, largely because they're harbouring some sort of secret shame that's taking a lot of time and energy, and it can end up sort of affecting the relationships with those nearest and dearest to you. And just generally, by the fact you're being less human, you're more emotionally stunted, you're more selfish, your relationships are going to be affected by that. And I suppose all those four things lead to that fifth one, that porn is a private sin, almost always a private sin, so something that people do in private. But it's got major consequences, and that is where Tim has really misunderstood that this is something that he thinks he can just do on his own, that no one else is involved, that no harm is done. But that's just to kid himself. All sin affects who we are, and that will affect our relationships and how we relate to the world around us and how we serve the world around us. This is the testimony of a guy called Bob from a book called Slaying the Dragon, little booklet. These are some excellent little booklets by an organisation called CCEF, who've done a number of booklets on this topic. This is Pornography, Slaying the Dragon. This is basically an interview with a guy called Bob. And he says this in the interview. He says, you'll see it on your handout. Let me use the metaphor of my eroticised soul becoming a toxic waste dump. I had tried to contain the obsession with pornography in the waste dump, but the toxic waste was leaking out. It was corrosive, and it seeped through the walls. In other words, he couldn't keep it private. It just seeped out into the rest of his life, affecting his service at church, affecting his love for other people. So it's a public thing. Sixth there, porn destroys my view of women. Inevitably, the more we look at porn, the more we will view women as objects to be consumed rather than people to relate to. There's another quote here from Pamela Paul, from her book, From Pornography to Porno to Porn. And she writes this: because pornography involves looking at women but not interacting with them, it elevates the physical while ignoring or trivialising all other aspects of the woman. A woman is literally reduced to her body parts and sexual behaviour. So it destroys our view of women. Porn also destroys my sex life. It begins, as Nathan said earlier, it begins to affect the way I view sex. It leads to unrealistic expectations. And sex can very easily become detached from an actual relationship and from intimacy. 8. Porn will destroy my relationship with my wife. Linked to that, it destroys the intimacy of marriage. It thrives off being a secret. And therefore the intimacy inevitably with your wife is broken down. It's a sin against your wife. It is lust. And that, as Jesus says, is adultery. Let's read with these words from Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So it is effectively a form of adultery, and it damages many marriages. Here's the testimony of Dave. These testimonies, incidentally, I got from Tim Chester's excellent book called Captured by a Better Vision. And a lot of the stuff that I've got here, you'll see a bit more of it later on, comes from this book, which is an excellent book. And he gathered together a series of testimonies from about 100 different people who were followers of his blog, speaking about their experiences. And this is a guy called Dave, and he said this: porn has damaged my marriage, to be honest. It means I don't delight in my wife as much because I've looked to other women. It's also hurt my wife because I've essentially cheated on her by masturbating over other women. 9. Porn involves the abuse of women. It's important to recognise that the porn industry is a place full of abuse. It's full of addiction, full of drugs, full of alcohol abuse, full of suicide. Again, Tim Chester speaks a bit about this. There's a massive problem in our society at the moment of sex trafficking, which partly feeds into the porn industry. And there is a sense in which if we're involved with porn, we are partakers of that industry. It's important to remember those links. 10 there, you see, porn is addictive. Research in 1999 was made in 9,000 internet users, and they found that in this research 8.5% were sexually compulsive or addictive. That's 8.5% of internet users were sexually compulsive or addictive. That's back in 1999. I imagine there would be a much higher rate today. The thing about pornography is that it stimulates the pleasure centre of the brain, and that starts to make you think in a certain way and desire certain things, and over time you want to have more and more extreme pornography to stimulate those same desires, and you end up in this addictive cycle. It desensitizes us, it enslaves us, it is addictive. Galatians 6 there is the Bible stating the obvious, really. Do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. On top of that, porn is a waste of time and energy. It can take up an enormous amount of time that you can never use again. Porn brings with it shame and guilt, certainly amongst Christian users who know that it's not the right thing to be doing. It can lead to enormous shame and guilt. Porn undermines my Christian walk fundamentally. Unresolved sin undermines our Christian walk. No surprises there. And it can have a major impact on our eternal future. Let me read the rest of Matthew 5, which links into the 14th point there, that porn provokes the wrath of God. Let me read from verse 29 of Matthew 5. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. In other words, lust can lead us, if it is not dealt with, can lead us to hell, to experience God's wrath for eternity. It is a serious thing, and it's worth knowing that whilst much of porn feeds off anonymity, porn is not actually anonymous. Read these words from Hebrews chapter 4. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So there are 14 reasons, and there are many others, to hate porn. And I really like Tim Chester's summary of this, which I've written down there for you. He writes this: when you look at porn, whether it's a still image or a movie, you need to look beyond the frame. Within the frame, you see a beautiful, smiling woman or a couple enjoying amazing sex. But think what's happening outside the frame. See the film crew gathered around. See the makeup artists, the plastic surgeons, the image editors. See the drugs and the suicides. Just off screen, there are women throwing up, taking drugs, committing suicide. Look beyond the frame. See the warping of your view of sex, of your wife and of sisters in Christ. See the damage to your relationships with God and your service of his people. See God's wrath against your sin. Look beyond the frame. I think that's a great phrase, a great line to have in mind with porn. Look beyond the frame. Look beyond what's immediately in front of you and at all the different problems that come from porn. So I think the first thing for us is to hate it, to really have an abhorrence for pornography deep in our hearts, to be convinced of these 14 points and others, that it really is a terrible, terrible thing. It seems so attractive, it promises so much, but it's actually utterly destructive. Now, I don't know whether Rue's going to be using this next week or not, but at least we can read through this now from Proverbs 5. It's a really helpful chapter in the Bible which speaks of how adultery, how lust, and you could apply this very easily to pornography, can seem so attractive, and yet it is deadly. So I thought it'd be good just for us just to read through Proverbs chapter 5 and to just allow the Bible, which really summarises everything that we've been saying so far, to shape and convict us of these truths. Do a couple of people want to read half of this each? Anyone up for reading? Mike, thank you. Do you want to read from 1 to 11? And anyone else? Andrew, thank you. Do you want to read from 12 to the end? Thank you.
My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of the adulterous woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths wander aimlessly, but she does not know it. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you lose your honor to others, and your dignity to the one who is cruel. Lest strangers feast on your wealth, and your toil enriches the house of another. At the end of your life you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I hate discipline, how my heart spurns correction. I will not obey my teachers or turn my ear to my instructors, and I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people. Drink water from your own system, learn the water from your own mouth. Do your streams overflow in the streets, your streams of water in public squares? Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. For you are found to be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. Why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman? For your ways are in the full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths. The evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them. The cords of their sins hold them fast. For lack of discipline, they will die, led astray by their own great body.